Oh, good morning, everybody. And Happy New Year to you all. Thank you very much. So it's just wonderful to get together again for chapel in 2022. My goodness me. So can we have the psalm on our screen, please? And it's Psalm 47, the first couple of verses. It says, "Come, everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise, for the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king of all the earth." So that's a great sort of few verses, isn't it, to start our new year with. The Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king of all the earth. And if we can keep that in our minds, we will want to clap our hands and shout joyful praise every day of this year, I'm sure.
For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Excellent. Well done. So everybody, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. We want to continue now. We're looking at a different book of the Bible every time I speak. And we've got to 2 Samuel. So the main character in 2 Samuel is King David. And just to recap where the books of the Bible come in. So there we are. We started with Genesis. We hopped across to Job. And then we came back to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel. And so today we're into 2 Samuel. But we're also going to get into the book of Psalms as well. Our main readings actually are in Psalm 51. So it's all talking about the same person. And so the next few books, we're going to be overlapping a lot of lot of themes and books, and they kind of say the same thing about the same or the same person, people are featured. So it's going to get a bit complicated because we're trying to do it in time order. But you know, it's you're just going to have to bear with me because you might feel I get it wrong. But so it's going to be tricky, but we'll persevere. Let's just remember though where we've come from, Genesis. We've got, this is actually walk through the Bible signs now we're going to look at. And then we will say the missing words, hopefully. And if you know the actions, please feel free to join me with the actions. Because the actions will help us remember the words and the storyline, which is even more important, perhaps. That's the point of what we're trying to do. So,
it all began with the
creation
of the world. And God declared it was good. Adam and Eve ate from the tree and
fall
away from perfection. Sometimes later, God sent a
flood
to wash the world clean and start again. The people tried to build a tower, but instead got spread out into
nations.
God made a promise to
Abraham
that he would have as many descendants as there are stars in the sky.
Isaac
is the first descendant. His name means laughter. Isaac had a son called
Jacob,
who had 12 sons and wrestled with God.
Joseph
is Jacob's favourite son. He's given an extravagant multicoloured coat. Over 400 years later in Egypt,
Moses
leads the Israelites out of slavery. To celebrate God saving them, the Israelites have a festival called
Passover.
On the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land, God gave his people the
law.
He also gave them instructions to make a
tabernacle.
At the tabernacle, God's people gave
offerings
to say sorry and had
beasts
to be thankful. Moses spent time
counting
the people. Then he sent 12 people who went
spies
in the land. The people decided it was too difficult, so they had to spend 40 years
wandering
in the wilderness while the older generation were
dying
out. For the
second
time, Moses taught the
law,
but to a new generation. Moses passed away, then
Joshua
led the people into the Promised Land. They went into
divide
the land and to
conquer
it one city at a time. Each of the
12 tribes
received their own patch of land. Joshua died. There was no leader, so
judges
ruled the land.
Deborah
held court under a palm tree. The least from the smallest tribe is
Gideon.
God performed a miracle through his fleece. Another judge was called
Samson.
His strength was in his hair. However, he was a bit foolish. During the time of judges, there was
a
lady called
Ruth.
She was loyal and followed her mother-in-law to Bethlehem.
Samuel
heard from God. The people went to him for guidance. The people wanted a king. Israel became a
united kingdom. And Saul
was the first king. He had
no heart
for God.
David
became the second king. He had
a whole heart
for God.
Okay, so that's as far as we get in our storyline. So well done for you. We've got the hand signs there. And so we get to 1,000 years before Jesus was born. This is where second book of Samuel comes in. 1,000 years before Jesus' time. But remember, we've had that cycle of judges where Samuel was the leader. He was a judge, a priest as well. And the people came to him and they said, "Give us a king, give us a king. We want a king like everybody else." And they kept on and kept on. "We want a king." And so God gave them King Saul. But we know that King Saul was really only interested in himself. He didn't really want to do what God wanted to do all the time. He kind of wanted to do what he wanted to do. And so we say he had no heart for God. And but David was appointed to be king by Samuel. And Samuel, you might remember the story that Samuel goes to David's family and he says to his father, he said, "Bring out your sons to me." And so all of David's brothers are paraded in front of Samuel, and Samuel is there to choose one of them to be king. And they all look big and strong and good sort of king material. But does Samuel pick any of them? No, he said, "Have you got somebody else here? This is all of them." And there was David out keeping the sheep. And so he said, "Well, there is one more. He's a little shepherd boy." And so they got David along, and Samuel said, "He's the one." And what's the sort of thing that we learn about that story? What's our main sort of learning point on that story? Do you remember? God looks on the inside. Well done. He doesn't just look at the outside. He looks on the inside as well. And so that's just true for us. You know, and God looks at our hearts. And he might have a bit of a laugh about how we look on the outside. But, you know, that doesn't matter. He looks at our hearts. He says, "What are you trying to do? Where are you trying to go? Are you trying to follow me?" And he sees what we're like on the inside. But we know that although David was anointed to be king, he didn't become king straight away. And King Saul was very jealous of him because King Saul could see that David was a better person than he was. And he was jealous of David and he tried to kill him several times. He chased after him. David had opportunities to kill Saul, but he refused to do it because he recognized that King Saul was God's anointed king. And so David waited for Saul to be to die in other ways rather than do it himself. But once King Saul did die, David becomes king. So David is the second king of Israel. So that was just sort of a bit of background to get us to where we are. And can anybody tell me this guy on the screen who he is? Goliath. Goliath. Story of David and Goliath. Can somebody just briefly give me the outline of that story?
David went to kill Goliath, and because that only like the soldiers were too scared to go at him, and then the king's like, "Have God in your heart," and he went, "Have God in your heart."
That's right, Goliath was shouting out, wasn't he? And he said, "Who's going to come and fight me?" And nobody would, because they were all scared of him, weren't they? But David didn't see it that way. David saw it that Goliath was mocking God. Goliath was mocking God by doing what he was doing. And David went out there for in the strength of the Lord rather than his own strength. And he saw off Goliath because of that. Because he went in God's strength. And so there's are there any other sort of morals we can learn from that story, perhaps, or biblical truths, perhaps? Yeah. That's right. When God is with us, we won't be defeated. When God is with us, we won't be defeated. So that's a really good thing to remember. So if we go on in David's life, he's become king now, and then this. This picture, anybody guess what this picture is talking about? The man is King David, and the lady is Bathsheba, and he takes her and he thinks, yes, she's a very, very exceedingly beautiful woman, I'm going to have her. And he, what was going wrong in David's life at this point?
He wasn't going out leading his army.
He wasn't doing the job of the king. Leading the army, that's right. He was sitting at home wondering, thinking, what shall I do next? And he thought, yes. And he
he knew that she belonged to somebody else. She was
coveted. That's right, he knew she was married. And he thought, well, I'm king, I can do what I like. And so he did what he liked, he just did what he fancied at the time. And so he took another man's wife and she becomes pregnant. He tries to cover it up, and then he arranges for her husband to be killed in battle. So he didn't only commit adultery, now he's killing, he's committing murder. And it seems he doesn't realise that it's all wrong until the prophet Nathan comes along and tells him. He said, you have sinned. You've been really, really bad person here. And all of a sudden, David seems like his mind is open to what he's been up to. And he recognises that he has sinned against God and against other people as well. And so David repents. He says sorry. He says sorry to God. And God forgives him, but there's big, big consequences to David and his family. You know, he's not only hurt this lady's family, but he's hurt his own family as well. And there are consequences that he suffers for that. And that's the same for us, isn't it? When we make mistakes, when we do things wrong, there are consequences so often, aren't there? And we have to pay the price. Even when we're forgiven by God, we still have a consequence so often, and we pay the price. So what I thought we could do is we will read Psalm 51, and we've got some nice, good readers here to do that for me. And then we'll just comment on that a little bit at a time and see how we get on. So thank you, Joe. Aston, you're first, please. And this is Psalm 51, verses 1 to 6. And this we see that David recognises his sin.
Have mercy on me, O God.
According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with... 1 to 6, yeah.
Thank you, Aston. And so as we look at these little passages, there's hopefully some memory verses might spring to mind. And one that sprung to my mind was 1 Peter 5:8, Do you know this memory verse, anybody? No, that's not that one, but keep that one in mind. Be on watch. Your enemy, the devil, roams around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Well done. So this instant, the devil has found David to devour. He's been roaming around and David's been kicking his heels, not doing very much. And he says, there's an idle person. I will get him. And David is well and truly got. And so there's a lesson there for us, isn't it? And another memory verse. David, we read he's brokenhearted now. He's really, really struck down. What's this verse?
The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed.
Excellent. Well done. Did you lot read that? Well, have one anyway. And with this, did you? I'm sure they were going through your mind, weren't they? Were they going through your mind? So, yes, David was brokenhearted, but the Lord rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And so, as we look at these few verses, we see that David is asking for God to have mercy on him. He's saying, God, you please have mercy on me. Why do you think he's asking God to have mercy on him? I mean, I know the obvious is he's got it wrong, but why is he asking God? What's good about God?
He can forgive.
He can forgive, yeah. Does this version say it in a... what's God's love like? Unending, steadfast, always there for us, isn't it? And his great compassion. My Bible version says it differently. But he's asking God because God is able to give him compassion and love. And so David is coming to the right person. And he's saying, please blot out my sin, wash me, purify me. I feel so dirty, I feel so bad, I feel so awful that God, I need you to make me feel clean again. In verse 3 he says, I know my transgressions, I recognise my sin. It's really bad, I see I've really done wrong and it haunts me day and night. It makes me feel awful. And he's saying, God, teach me wisdom. You teach wisdom and honesty, and I have failed really badly in this. It's on this front. I'm really not worthy, and it's like David is saying, I've broken two of those Ten Commandments directly. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. I've done it, Lord, and that's me, and I do not feel good about it at all. And so David is being really, really honest when he's praying to God in this psalm for forgiveness. And that's what a good example for us to follow. You know, we're going to get things wrong in our lives. We all do from time to time. And so we need to then come to God when we do and say sorry and be honest about things. So in the next few verses with Isla reading, we're going to see that David wanted to change. He didn't want to stay in this state of brokenness. And so Isla will read verses 7 to 11 for us, please. Thank you.
Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. O, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stains from my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me.
So David has recognised his sin, and he's wanting to change. You know, and that's actually a big step. You know, we can recognise that we've sinned, but do we actually want to stop sinning? That is a key question for us in our lives. A couple of memory verses that come to mind here. Something about snow was mentioned in verse 7. Whiter than snow. Anybody got this?
Now and
Yes, excellent. Should we just say this? Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Isaiah 1:18. And so Isaiah was saying these words after King David had been around. And so perhaps King David sort of started this trend of saying about when we're forgiven, we can be as white as snow. And Peter also said what Barry said earlier. For he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. And so this is what David is doing. You know, David is broken and he's coming to God with his cares, with his anxieties, with his sadness. And he's saying, and this is what Peter was saying to us, to give God our cares, cast them onto God, because God cares for us. You know, David didn't want to stay where he was. He was down there dirty, broken, ashamed. David didn't want to stay there. He says, purify me, make me snow white clean again. Wash me. Verse 8, give me back my joy again. I want to rejoice. I'm broken. And he says in verse 10, create a clean heart in me, O God. Don't abandon me. Renew a loyal spirit in me. I can't live without you, God. I really need you with me. I really, really do. And so for myself and a few others I know, there's a song come to mind here that Keith Green sings, create in me a clean heart. And so let's stand and sing this one, shall we? It takes all its words from Psalm 51. And we'll sing this one a couple of times together. Last time, well, we didn't sing it, did we? Because we weren't allowed to sing. But we had it on CD, and that was wonderful hearing Keith Green sing that. That must have been back in March time, I would imagine, February, March. So our next little passage in this, we see that David recognises that it's God who changes people with new life and forgiveness. You know, David didn't want to stay. He recognises sin, but he didn't want to stay. He wanted to change. And he recognised it was God that brings change with new life and forgiveness. So, Natasha, could you come and read the next one, please? So, this is 12 to 15.
Give me back the joy that comes from being saved by you. Give me a spirit that obeys you so that I will keep going. Then I will teach your ways to those who commit lawless acts, and sinners will turn back to you. You are the God who saves me. I have committed murder. God, take away my guilt. Then my tongue will sing out about how right you are, no matter what you do. Lord, open my lips so that I can speak. Then my mouth will praise you.
Thank you very much. So some memory verses here. We see then verse 12 about restoring our joy. What does Nehemiah say? Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is more strength. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. So he's saying the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, when we're lacking in joy, we go to God to give us joy. And Romans 6, 28, 3. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, verse 23. Can you do that again? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6, verse 23. Excellent. That's saying it. You know, if we stay with our sins, we will die. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so we know where to go. We know we go to Jesus for forgiveness. And so we can pray, restore to me the joy of my salvation. We can say, make me willing to obey you, God. You know, I don't want to stay with all my sins. I want to be with you. And when I'm there, I'll be able to teach others then. I'll be able to speak about the forgiveness that you give me. And I will praise you in singing. Open my lips so that I can speak and my mouth will praise you. I can be singing and praising God because of the forgiveness and the joy that I've received from God. And so that's a wonderful thing in it, when we recognise that God will give us joy and forgiveness. So let's move on. And our next reading is coming from Logan, verses 16 to 19. And this is kind of David realising that it's got to be less of David and more about God in his life. So Logan, thank you.
You don't take delight in sacrifice. If you did, it would bring it up. I would bring it. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. The greatest sacrifice you want is a broken spirit. God, you will gladly accept a heart that is broken because of sadness over sin. May you be pleased to give Zion success. May it please you to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifice of those who do what is right. Whole burnt offerings will bring delight to you, and bulls will be offered on your altar.
You, Logan? And so some memory verses come into mind on this one. Do we know this one? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you... Matthew 11, verse 28. Yes, thank you. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, 28. So God gives us rest when we come to him with our struggles, with our burdens. And if only David had done this in the first place, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, 7. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4, 7. You see, David didn't submit to God. He didn't resist the devil. He said, no, this sin is enjoyable. I'm going to enjoy this. And so he went down this terrible road and had serious consequences to suffer. And so we see David with a broken spirit, but now, I just need to lift this a bit to focus myself. He's got a broken spirit and not a proud one like King Saul had. You know, King Saul, he just wanted to do it his way, but David was broken because he realized he got it wrong, and he asked God for forgiveness. And remember, we saw King Saul, he was setting up a monument to himself. He was saying, I'm the big man around here. I'm going to make a monument to myself. And he should have been making a monument to God and not himself. And so we see David. And David has got to the end of this psalm, which is an amazing admission of guilt and of where to go to when you've got it wrong. An amazing thing about God's forgiveness to us. And David is just showing us these great things. And so that kind of leads us to our next song, which is 966. Wonderful grace that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned, and then lets me go free. David didn't actually know about Jesus giving this wonderful grace, but he was looking forward to, he knew it was there in God's plan of salvation. And so he was asking God. We've looked very briefly through Psalm 51, and we did talk about the stories in 2 Samuel. And so we covered a little bit of that. But here we are at the beginning of 2022. And in many ways, you know, we're king and queens of our lives. You know, we're going to make decisions as we go into this year. You know, are they going to be good decisions or are they going to be bad decisions? Are we going to submit to God and resist the devil so that he will flee from us? Or are we going to go the other way? You know, with King Saul, we say no heart, but King David, we say whole heart. Are we going to be wholehearted towards God? Are we going to be proud in this new year? Or are we going to be humble and recognize our position before God? Are we going to be willing to learn or stubbornly set in our ways, do the things that we want to do and not what are good for everybody? And so it brought to mind Joshua when he was towards the end of his life, you know, and he looked at the nation of Israel and he said, choose today who you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Should we just say this nice and boldly? Choose today who you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 22:15. And so that's a great verse, isn't it, to go forward with in this new year. We will serve the Lord. So I'd like us to go into a time of prayer now. So Lord God, we just thank you that we can go forward in this new year with you, Lord. We can go in your strength. We can just recognize that we struggle in so many ways, but Lord, you don't. And we can hold on to you, Lord. So bless us as we carry on forward and help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because that is the best thing we can do. So go with us now, Lord. Be with us as we have a cup of tea. And then go with us to our homes and bless us the rest of today and this year, we pray. Amen.